Welcome to episode number 2 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. This episode, we're talking about 15 things you can't forget when moving to the Caribbean, when your insides hurt, how referred pain works, and one of the most important types of tissue in your body, epithelium. Awesome.
Yeah.
Med school, kind of crazy. But they already have us on cadavers, and I'm learning a ton of stuff, and it's pretty excellent. Not gonna lie.
Excellent. Very cool.
We went to the salt pond today, or we went to we went swimming today in the ocean where I studied flashcards.
Yeah, studied flashcards on your phone at the beach.
Yep. I sat in the corner of our village bar and studied last night, and they set up a fan because I was sweating so bad.
Yeah, I actually met somebody this week when I was downtown Kingstown that said to me, "Oh, I rode on the van with you two. Your husband, he was very sweaty."
I'm glad I made a name for myself.
Sweaty hairy man.
Yep. Well, hey, let's jump into it then, huh?
All right. So I've had about, we've been here for about 2-3 weeks now, and now I think I've got a list of things that people probably that aren't a list of things to bring with you that probably aren't on the list that the med school is going to tell you to bring, because they gave you a list of all the things they needed to bring, like your scrubs and
things outside of like school supplies.
Yeah, because I mean, there's all of that other stuff too. So the first thing that I've got on my list is converters. Now, the converters that they use here on St. Vincent are not the ones that we were expecting them to be. So we brought a whole bunch, but they weren't the right size. So the size that they have here are the G type. The U.S. uses A and B, and this is the G type. Power strips. Important to bring. I think that one was actually on your list, but it's really, really helpful to have.
Yeah. Well, and with the converters, obviously, whatever island you're moving to, you need to make sure you know what electricity that they're using or what outlet they're using. We thought we knew. I was wrong. That one was on me.
Ooh, thank you for saying you were wrong. Okay, so this one specifically for ladies. I have been really enjoying having biker shorts because I wear them underneath skirts and dresses to fix any thigh chub rub, as I like to call it, any thigh chafing. They're just super nice to have to wear skirts around because I sweat a lot. Now, we said that Micah's known as a sweaty guy, but I am sweating a lot, too. Next thing is anything that's essential for you. So I like to cook a lot, and so I knew that I would be unhappy if I didn't bring a really, really good kitchen knife. And so I don't know what that means for you. So if you're really into something else, it might be something else for you. But I brought a really good kitchen knife, and I love it. A lot of the places here don't have screens. The next thing is a bug screen situation. And I'm not sure what necessarily it's called, but it was a bug screen for temporary places. So it was the rough side of Velcro and then just a plastic, almost like tool. And it's been a lifesaver because sleeping at night when bugs are going by your ears and everything's itchy sucks. Extra cords for everything. So bring at least 2 cords for your laptop, bring 2 cords for your phone. I use all Apple products and you just flat out can't get iPhone chargers here. So make sure that you get at least 2 before you come.
Yeah, make sure to have backups, because you said we had that neighbor that lost her cord, or her Apple charger broke, and
yeah,
it was
for her
something
iPhone.
Like over $100 to get one on the island.
Yeah, where you can order them from Amazon for $5, so think about that. Citronella candles, maybe, like the mosquito situation is real. So anything that you can do that works for you. I know some people really are like the bands that they can wear on their wrists.
I've never tried those either,
but I know a lot of people like them. So, but anything that works for you.
They're kind of like human flea collars.
That's true. So we actually had a friend come visit us, or kind of a friend of a friend. It doesn't really matter who it was, but and bring a couple extra things for us that were really nice to have. Every bit of coffee that I see on this island is instant.
Yeah.
And so I had them bring me a French press and some coffee. And Folgers has never tasted better to me. That having real ground coffee has been really nice. And so highly recommend it. You can't that's something that you can't really find here. It also rains all the time.
Yeah, I was surprised how much it rains once we got here. I kind of knew it, but
yeah,
I didn't really know it. And it's pretty much daily.
And they also said that this isn't even the rainy season.
Yeah.
That the rainy season was a couple months ago. And so bring a rain jacket or an umbrella or both, you know? So
especially if you're not going to have a car, you're going to find you're standing on the sidewalk quite a bit waiting for vans to come around or buses or whatever your situation. You spend a good deal outside.
Yeah. Okay. So this is another one for the ladies, especially Caucasian ladies. I'm white, and you're going to need to bring all of your white people beauty products because they don't sell them here. So if you ever want to buy foundation, you won't be able to find foundation here or any other of that sort of stuff. And so I also highly recommend getting a foundation that has sunscreen in it because that has saved my skin. Anything that has sunscreen in it is going to be helpful because I just find that I sweat it out as much as I put it on. So if you can get just a regular lotion that has sunscreen in it, any sort of SPF has been great. And my foundation that I got that has SPF 22 in it has been a lifesaver, that's for sure. A clip-on fan for the power type.
Oh, yeah, that's totally my list. that's my item.
Yeah, because it does get hot. And just having a little bit of airflow has been great. We did get one brought to us, but it immediately shorted out because it didn't like the power. And I think our current's 220, right?
Yeah.
And it's usually what in the U.S.?
110.
110. Right. Yeah. So making sure that it will be able to handle the extra load.
Yeah, and it can be so difficult to sleep while you're hot and sweaty, too.
Yeah. But speaking of at the school itself, it's very well air conditioned.
I love it.
And places that are well air conditioned are really well air conditioned. Like, yeah. Look at how rich and fancy I am because I can keep this house so cold or something.
Yeah.
So,
it's true. When it's air conditioned, it's usually on the chilly side.
Yeah. So I highly recommend bringing a cardigan or something like that.
I would bring a hoodie.
Well,
I did bring a hoodie.
Yeah.
I haven't worn it yet.
But I've definitely worn my cardigan.
Yeah.
So, this was one that I had my friend bring. Those long stick lighters. I can't seem to find them anywhere around here, but the long stick lighters, because any time that you're going to be cooking here is going to be on a gas burner, but they don't have, at least ours here at the house, doesn't have a lighter function, so you have to light them with matches or with lighters, and I think it's just slightly safer to do it with one of those long stick lighters, but I can't seem to find one. And that's something that's a dollar and does not take up very much room in your bag. Water bottles, important. If you are going to be sweating nearly as much as we are, it is important to keep rehydrated, and I know that I just throw a water bottle in my purse anytime that I leave the house, and
I like having one, not just with me, but one in the house, in the fridge, so that when I come home, I have cold water right away. Because the water that comes out the tap is, well, it's pipe water, well water, so it's, you know, room temperature, basically. And room temperature means something a little bit different when the room is normally in the 80s.
Yep. And then the last thing on my list is a coin purse or a wallet with a coin section. Everybody takes cash, and most places only takes cash. And I noticed that, you know, for single dollars, $2, $3, that I'm having a lot more change on me than I've ever had before. And so...
It's important to note that the dollar... There's no dollar bill.
It's only dollar coins. Yeah. And, you know, anytime you check the van, it's, you know, $2 or $3. And so you're operating a lot in change, and it is all getting lost in the bottom of my purse.
That's a pretty good list.
Thank you. And, you know, I was thinking about it when I was putting this list together, that you can buy almost anything on the island, but you just need to expect that you're probably going to get lower quality than what you're going to get in the U.S. and at a higher price than what you would pay for a lower quality product.
Yeah.
So if, you know, I've seen Suave shampoo at the pharmacy, and that's, you know, stuff that you can get. But if you're really into a certain brand of shampoo that you know works great for you, you know, things like that. Sunglasses, they're all going to be like dollar store sunglasses. You know, and like you can find clothes here, and it's, you know, clothes are easy to get by here. But they're pretty expensive, I've noticed. And what I did is I went to Goodwill on 10 things for $10 a day and picked up a whole bunch of super cute tops, and it's going to be fine in their stuff that I'm not going to worry about. So you can get pretty much anything you need, but it's not necessarily going to be as good.
Hey, let's publish this list to the blog.
Hey, I will do that. I'll type it up.
Cool. So if you guys want to have it written down, or you want to read it in some way, make a checklist for yourself, you can head on over to theartofmedschool.com, and we'll get that posted.
All right. That's it. And a bunch of other information can be found on artofmedschool.com. Check back regularly for blog posts as well as worksheets and other materials that can help you in your med school journey.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, what, Micah?
Have you ever had a kidney stone?
No.
Oh. Well, you know, they hurt real bad up in your back?
Yeah. Oh, I had a kidney infection once, and my back hurt.
Okay, yeah, all right. So, you know how... But did you know that you can't actually really feel your kidney? That kidney pain you were feeling really wasn't... It wasn't your kidney, like, hurting your back.
But my kidney's, like, on my back.
Yeah, but it doesn't really work like that. And it's actually really, really cool the way it does work.
It was my back hurting. It wasn't my kidney hurting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it wasn't actually your back hurting. It was, and that's kind of the point, that it wasn't your back hurting. It was that the kidney was sending a signal of pain. You can't actually feel your kidney hurting, but it's getting intercepted by the back nerves. And so then it thinks that the pain is in your back.
What?
I know. When I learned about this, my mind was blown. Okay, let's start this over, or let's start at the beginning. And
take me there, okay.
Yeah, let me try and get you there. Okay, so first, a couple things that we kind of just have to understand, and that's one of them is how the general structure of spinal nerves work. So we all know that as you go down your spine, you have nerves that are coming out.
A tree or whatever.
Yep. Okay, so depending on what kind of nerves they are, they're going to do different things. So they're going to take different pathways. So the ones that are somatic, which means they are for like your skin and your skeletal muscles, so muscle that you can consciously control, that's somatic. That's going to take a different route than the visceral. And the visceral is things like that you don't control. So your cardiac.
Yeah, your heart.
your glands, your blood vessels, stuff like that. Okay?
Okay.
So without going into, because this is actually a little complicated, but it's I think it's terribly fascinating. So the somatic, you know, the things that we can control are in one part of your spinal cord, and they come out the front into your nerves. And the visceral, that's the things that we can't control, that's on the back, and they're going to go out the back.
Like your kidney.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so then there's also afferent and efferent, which is a little tough to keep control of. Afferent nerves are sensory nerves when we feel things. So your somatic system has both afferent and efferent. Because you can feel your skin, you can also control your muscles, so efferent is the motor.
Okay.
Okay. So what we need to know is that the afferent...
Oh, okay, yeah, no, that makes sense, sorry.
The afferent goes through the dorsal horn of the spinal cord. Okay.
Where is that?
So in all the way up and down your spinal column... There's gray matter inside. Okay, there's actually a bunch of white matter, which is like it's literally white neural tissue.
Like your brain?
Yep, yep. And then there's also gray matter.
This is in your spinal cord?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just like the strings that you see in pictures.
No. Yeah, all that has to come from somewhere, and it all comes from a literal like column or cord that all runs down your back. That's what your spinal cord is, and then there's nerves that come off of there.
So, oh, I guess I thought it was a lot like wiring in your house, where all of the wires would then go to one central place and then go in your brain, but it's like goo in your spinal cord.
I wouldn't call it goo, because it's actually the same type of matter as your brain.
Okay.
Which is not very gooey.
Yeah, that's fair.
So there's white matter, and then inside of the white matter, there's gray matter, which looks like a butterfly when you cut it in half.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the lateral or the dorsal horn is the horn that goes towards the back of the spinal cord, okay?
Okay.
And then from there, the nerves come out. It actually comes out as dorsal rootlets and a dorsal, which combine into a dorsal root, which combines to a spinal nerve. And then from there, it'll take whatever... front nerve or back nerve, we say ventral or dorsal, depending on where it needs to go. Okay? So that's just the basic idea, is that we need to know that the dorsal, the afferent, so the sensory stuff is going through the dorsal horn of the spinal cord. Okay? The other thing that we need to know is the idea of dermatomes. So
that sounds like skin.
It is. Good job. Derma.
Yes.
Skin... it has various aspects that send sensory information to the body, right? So there's pain sensors and temperature sensors and deep pressure, all that stuff. And so...
itchy sensors from my bug bites.
Yep, or from the sand from the beach. So there is a somatic afferent network that lets us know what our skin is feeling. So it's somatic because it comes from our skin. And it's afferent because it's sensory, okay?
Okay.
So, because it's somatic afferent, afferent goes to the dorsal horn of the spinal cord. That sensory information is going through the dorsal horn of the spinal cord, okay, for your skin.
Okay, yeah. No, this is all making sense.
Okay. So, the thing to know is that we have it mapped out what parts of your skin is felt by what spinal nerves.
Somebody did that?
Yeah, it had to take a really, really long time because it's not like super clean. There's some overlap and stuff. But if you poke around your belly button, that sensory information is going through your T10, your 10th thoracic vertebrae, through that spinal nerve. We know that.
So is that for the skin around your belly button or the skin around your finger from poking?
Well, if it's... okay, poke it with your thumb.
Okay.
All right, so now you're activating your T10 for your navel area, and your thumb is C6. I didn't say finger because I didn't know. I don't really have them all memorized.
Sure, that's great.
And then on the inside of your thigh is your L2, your second lumbral. But the point is that we know over the whole body what is innervating what. What feels...
innervating is... like in nerve.
Yep.
Whatever.
So we know from the whole body where we're setting in that sensory information. Okay, so we've got all that established. That's kind of keep that on one hand. Now we need to talk about our guts.
Okay.
So our brain, it can perceive pain from organ, from our visceral, our cardiac muscles, our kidneys, our guts, all that stuff.
All that stuff.
It can receive that sensory information. The thing is that it really doesn't do a good job of localizing it, and it just feels really dull.
Sure.
So we wouldn't actually know what it means. You know, we wouldn't be able to get an idea of actually being in pain from it. So what happens is that information comes into the body because it's visceral and sensory. It's going in through the dorsal horn and through the dorsal, that same pathway we talked about for the dermatomes. So it goes through all that, and it hooks up to the same spot, and
the same spot that the sensory one goes out of, or that same spot.
So the information from your kidney and from your back goes in at the same spot, and we call it a visceral somatic convergence in the dorsal horn. Which is a really...
That sounds fancy.
It is a really fancy way of basically saying, in a way, the body short-circuits itself, then that message gets passed across. So, for instance...
When my kidney was hurting...
You were feeling it in your back because your kidney sends sensory information to your brain through those same... It's T10 through S4 somewhere, because, again, it's not always very clean, the way this breaks down, but... T10 through S4. T10 through S4 dermatomes cover those portions of your back.
So my kidney hurts. My kidney's like, I hurt. And it goes through that nerve and it gets like cross-wired with this other nerve that says my back actually hurts.
Yep. That's pretty much it. So another common one is myocardial infarctions, heart attacks.
Yeah, okay, so that's why, like, they say that if you are having a heart attack that your left arm can hurt or whatever?
Mm-hmm. That same dermatome. It's, again, somewhere in the T1 to T5, and it goes down your arm. It also goes up into your jaw, and that's another common site for referred pain with myocardial infarctions is jaw pain. Isn't that wild?
I'm probably going to say this, and it probably sounds fake, but, like, it kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. I learned this in class, and I was like, this is amazing.
That's awesome. Are you liking what you're hearing? Coming very soon, we will be launching our Patreon account, where you will get special access to more of what you're getting here. So this is epithelial tissue?
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie, like I really dig on epithelium, but I cannot hardly say it. It's not even epithelium, it's epithelium. Epithelium. So let's talk about tissues of the body, because it's kind of nice to do something. I don't know if we'll be able to keep this up or not, but something kind of big picture, like the nerves, and do something little picture, you know, like we did joints and cytoskeleton.
Sure.
So we'll do a little micro. So tissue is a group of cells that work together for a purpose, right? So yeah, things that they're similar and they perform a specific function. And so
all of the nerve tissue in your brain or whatever.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. All these different tissues make up an organ. And the study of all this tissue is known as histology. In histology, we talk about having four major kinds of tissue in the body. Epithelium, connective tissue, muscle tissue, and nerve tissue.
That was the one I said.
You did. And so today we're going to talk about epithelium because epithelium, actually, I think connective tissue is really neat too. But epithelium is incredibly interesting because it's...
And it's definitely the one that I wouldn't be able to guess.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and we have a tremendous amount of it too. And it's so incredibly important in our body. Epithelium is classified by shape. So there's cells that look like a cube, there's some that look like a column, and there's some that are flat and kind of look like a fried egg a little bit. Those are called squamous. They're stratified, which means that they have multiple layers, or they're simple, which means that they're flat. Just one layer. They could be pseudo-stratified, where they're a little bit in between, and there's also transitional, which means that they look like one thing, and then they're stretched out, and they look like something else.
Oh, sorry, that made me just think of that episode of Doctor Who, with that lady, with the... she had to be misted. Anyway, it doesn't...
Right, fair enough. Actually, she would probably made me think of, like, your bladder.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
That's how your bladder works. It's not that it gets bigger or anything. It's just that tissue has to stretch to hold all that beer, you know? Well, for you, it's wrong. For me, it's beer.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's the thing about epithelium, is that it's really good at things like contractility in your bladder, that it can hold that extra fluid and stuff. It's really good at protection. There's, you've heard of keratin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so keratin is basically a protein that will be in your epithelial tissue when it's stratified. There's a bunch of layers. So that's in your skin to help protect it, because it's really good at flaking off. And when it flakes off, that's basically protecting the stuff that's underneath it.
Oh, sure.
There's also the same version. It's non-keratin. It's wet. It's for wet surfaces. So your intestines, your vagina is another place. She just got off.
Did I just get awkward?
Absorption.
It's talking about my vagina to the world.
Well, okay. In vagina.
In a vagina.
In
every vagina, including mine.
Yeah. It's also really good for absorption, like in your intestines, in your kidney. It's good for gas exchange, like in your lungs. Basically, anything in your body that it has an opening, or so like any kind of tube, like your blood vessels, the tubes inside of your pancreas, your skin, anything that is basically a lining is going to have epithelium.
Okay.
It's all over the place. So, those are a few of the types and everything, but actually what I want to talk about today is just a single cell and its different size.
Okay.
This is really neat. So, there's three sides of a cell. There's the apical, which is the top side, the basal, which is the bottom side, and the lateral, which are, you know, the other sides.
Sure, okay.
Okay, so what you need to know is that the apical is going to be in a tube of some kind. It's called a lumen. That's where the opening is that this epithelium is lining.
Okay.
At the bottom is going to be a basement membrane. So it's a membrane that this attaches to. So on the top, you've got an opening. On the bottom, you've got a membrane that attaches it to what's ever underneath it.
Okay, sure.
Other cells. And then laterally, on either side of it, and all around it, are other epithelial cells. Okay? So on the apical side, where the side that's at the lumen, there is a bunch of cool stuff that it can have to help your body, or help that cell do what its job better. So it can have microvilli, which are kind of like hair-like structures at the edge of the cells. And that, so in your, think of it in your small intestine.
Okay.
What does your small intestine do?
It moves the food down and it, like, takes the nutrients out and stuff, I think.
Yeah. It absorbs all those nutrients, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's a really good way for you to get better or more absorption?
To be able to...
So
I don't know.
So when you try and clean something up with a rag, say.
Sure.
Can you absorb more if you ball it up? Or... If you do it flat.
Flat.
Okay, so because it's flat, it has more surface area.
Sure, okay.
Okay, so all these little hairs that are sticking up, and I'm holding my hand above my head and wiggling my fingers, all these little microvilli stick up because that's providing...
More surface area.
Yeah, so it can absorb all the nutrients better. And then it goes through the cell. It's got a core of actin. I don't know if you remember, we talked about actin. It's a type of protein.
Mm.
have a skeleton?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it goes through the cell. It's got a cord of actin that goes through the cell, and it's anchored to a terminal web that helps keep it in place. And it's really cool. Another thing is cilia, and I think that's what a lot of people think when they think of cells, is like the kind of long hairs that flow.
But they're like in your throat.
Yeah, exactly. So there's epithelial lining in your throat that is all ciliated, and that's for basically moving things around. It pushes things up, and that's how you hawk up a loogie, is all these longer hairs. And I'm calling all these things hairs. There's actually kind of a big difference between them all, but for our sake, they're hairs.
Okay.
But yeah, they help you move things up. And they have this really cool insight that there's nine pairs of fibers, like of protein strings.
Mm-hmm.
Nine pairs all in a circle that are connected to each other. And then in the middle, there's another two proteins. So that's like this kind of complicated.
Oh, like almost like a scrubby head.
Yeah. Or also think of like looking at spokes of a wheel.
Oh, sure.
That's another way to think of it. They're also anchored in a basal body, which is just another organelle, basically, just below the cell membrane. And the last one I want to mention is cilia, which is more like the microvilli than it is the cilia, but they're really big, and they're sensory. They're the hairs inside of your ears are part of microvilli, or of cilia. And think more like your inner ear, not the...
Oh, sure, not... Yeah.
And that I think sometimes have to get shaved.
It's true.
But the way that they move actually will stimulate electronic signals from those cells, and that's how we generate hearing.
Oh, okay.
That's all from, and what's so cool is that that's all those different things are very different functions, and they all come from the same cell type. You know, it's this single connective tissue, or not connective tissue, the single type of tissue that can do all these different things. So I'm getting a little nerdy here and talking a little long. Let's talk real quick, basal size. So the bottom, there's that basal membrane we talked about, and it's like this delicate network of very fine fibers stick through and are attached so that they're anchored to this underlying tissue that it's lining. And so the basement membrane helps epithelial to be polarized. And so that contributes to things like orientation of structures. So those different hairs and things we were talking about.
They know what direction they're going.
Yeah, and you know how we can visualize that? The direction of fur on mammals.
Oh, okay, sure.
That is all due to the polarization of epithelial tissue that lines their skin, or like feathers on birds is another way. And then there's all sorts of anchoring fibrils and stuff like that. The other thing that is neat about the basement membrane is that can also have folds to increase surface area. So if things are trying to get absorbed through the cells, we can have more surface area to do that so that it can get to the tissue that's underneath. So a place you'd see that would be like the proximal... Well, in your kidneys.
In your kidneys. Oh, okay.
And there's lots of mitochondria there because that's like active transport. And then so real quick, I want to mention too the lateral size. And I'm actually kind of cut myself short because I didn't realize how excited I was about epithelial. The lateral domain. So between the cells, there's all sorts of intercellular junctions. So these cells are actually like basically touching one another.
Uh-huh.
And there has to be a way to keep them cohesive and for them to be able to communicate with each other to know what they're
doing.
So there's three things that are three different ways that that's done. It's tight junctions, desmosomes, and gap junctions. I'm just going to mention them real quick. Tight junctions hold the next cell so close, so tight, that nothing gets through.
Nothing. Like waterproof, like waterproof, essentially.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So it's waterproofing, preventing from absorption. And we have that in the kidney, because there's certain parts of the kidneys that water cannot permeate.
Yeah, because you don't want to mix the dirty with the clean and all that stuff.
So that's tight junctions. They're actually like a belt going around the top of the cell. Desmostomes can also be a belt like that, or they can be spot. And it's still not massive gaps or anything like that, but they allow for more controlled passage. Things of a certain size or smaller can slip through, so maybe we're letting water through, or we're letting sodium through, but not water, or things like that. And then the last one is gap junctions, and I really wanted to get this one in, because I think gap junctions are awesome. So between the cells, in that lateral domain, there's a gap junction, and it's like six cells that form a pore.
Uh-huh.
And it's called a connexon, and that's a gap junction. So that gap can be open or closed based off of
the needs of it.
Signal next door.
Oh, that's cool.
You know what's really cool about that?
What?
That's how a signal can get through your heart so fast.
Oh.
These gap junctions that will allow ions to get through for communication. So your heart, the signal, this is what allows, and I won't get into the physiology of this, but this one will allow your heart to be able to start a beat, to start the electric signal for a beat,
uh-huh,
anywhere in it at all.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. This episode 2, was all about things to bring, referred pain, epithelial tissue, and join us next week for 3 more awesome topics. Our theme music, Urbana Metronica Wu Yan Mix by Spinning Mercada, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way with St. James School of Medicine. He just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.